You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MLS postseason kicks off tonight. We've got the play-in round match between first-year clubs Nashville and Inter Miami. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app.
Hey, man, you got to pull your freaking weight.
I'm not that good.
I'm a professional overreactor. I admit it.
I'm that dude, man.
Peanut butter and jelly is for losers. Put some meat on that sandwich.
I just looked at Stafford and I said, oh, fudge. Stafford did not say fudge. He used a different four-letter F word, but...
Yeah, fudge has more than that.
Fudge has more than four letters.
Rex has only used fudge in different contexts, like ice cream sundaes. I'm looking at the standings.
Guys, if I'm looking at the standings...
Philly has 3 wins. The Giants have 3 wins. Washington has 2 and Dallas has 2.
No.
Quit talking.
Good Lord, man.
If you talk about the tie, Greeny, I'm taking off my mic.
It's ridiculous.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they're up. Let me tell you why they're up. Because they took the tie, guys. Stace and I were watching Northwestern. Northwestern's undefeated, by the way. I told Stace, if Philadelphia loses, they're still up. Why, Stace? Because of the tie. There you go. I said it for you. Now you ain't got to say it.
But he happens to be exactly right. You know, I'm like most geniuses, I won't be fully appreciated until after my time. The Eagles are going to win the division based on the tie. I don't care how geeky I sound when I say it. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. It's a full-scale football Friday. Here we go. It's time to get up with a battle of the birds. It goes right down to the final play. What does it mean for both teams headed down the stretch? Then, is anyone willing to say what at least one of us was thinking, that the Saints could be better without Breeze? You'll find out in this hour. And then to the hoop we will go. What now for the Warriors after losing Klay again? Is it all over as we know it for Golden State? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now. Bart Scott, game of the night. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Tied atop the NFC West, and it's a good one. First quarter, Seahawks in plus territory, and Russell keeping the play alive and finding his favorite target.
Always keeping his eyes upfield. Finds his favorite receiver, DK Metcalf, in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Green, up 7.
Seahawks up 7. Zip later in the quarter. It's still that score, and it's Murray. Now watch the end of this play as he is sacked, and he comes up holding that shoulder.
Well, this is a huge part of the game. You know, he was wincing. They were putting heat packs on the sideline all game. I don't know if it impaired his ability to throw the ball.
He stayed in all night, though. Second quarter, still 7-0. Murray's still in the game, but this time he looks okay on this one to Max Williams.
Max Williams setting up a potential score. You know, this is a tremendous throw by the young quarterback.
Kenyon Drake would take it in from there, and so it's 7-0. And suing Seahawks possession. Tyler Lockett caught 24 balls in 2 games against Arizona this year.
So we got the moonshot and the half moonshot. I don't know. It all results in 7, Green.
Yeah, actually 6 in this case because they missed the extra point. So it's 13-7. Third quarter, 16-7. Murray, Dan Arnold, touchdown. It's 16-14. Murray looked okay.
Hey, find this huge tight end in the back of the end zone. High point of football. Game blouses.
And suing drive, 3rd and 7. It's Wilson. It's Lockett again. They're going to get off the field defensively, but oh no, we got punches thrown.
Absolutely. Losing your cool in this point is unacceptable. This led to a first down and eventually this by Carlos Hyde, making a reservation for 6 in the end zone, Greeny.
Seahawks extended to 23-14. They ran it for 165 on the night. Early fourth, same score, 3rd and goal at the 3. Chase Edmonds wide open.
Oh, wide open. You know, this is even, you know, see him throw it, watch him catch it, keep your eyes on your luggage.
Now, here's a big moment in the game. This is Murray in his own end zone. We're going to get holding. We're going to get a safety.
You don't want anybody to hit your quarterback, but in the end zone, you can't hold it. Led to 2 points, and this was pivotal because of the missed field goal early in the game. Put him up 4, Greeny.
Cardinals, 10 penalties for 115 yards. Now, 50 seconds remaining. Can Kyler Murray work another miracle? On both 2nd and 3rd down, he's throwing deep, Bart.
Well, the best chance you have to score in the red zone is the high red because the field is still open. The closer you get to the end zone, the harder it is to find open space. He was trying to go for it all.
So they didn't get it on second. They didn't get it on third. And now you're watching fourth down. Does he have another miracle?
And this is the game, Blouses. Carlos Dunlap didn't play in the first game.
And the Seahawks hang on, and they win, and they take over first place in the NFC West. A good one to kick off the weekend.
They gave us the opportunity to keep him running around. And you know, I like my odds. I'll chase after a squirrel all day.
Hey, Kyler, how's your arm feeling? And did that affect anything you were able to do in this game?
No, just came up short. Didn't execute when we needed to. Had our chances. We just didn't play well enough.
Russell Wilson did, I'll tell you that. Since he came in the league, the Seahawks have won 80% of their games when he doesn't turn the ball over. That includes 4-0 this year, and that was especially important because he had turned it over three or more times in three of the four previous games, all of them resulting in losses. And so as we sit back and talk about this one a little bit here, I first can bring in Mark Sanchez, the masked slinger, is back with us as he is every Friday. But RC, I want you to explain to Sanchez something you brought up earlier. What is the difference between MVP Russ and Super Bowl Russ, and why was it important last night?
Listen, it was extremely important that he wasn't trying to be Mr. Unlimited, that he did limit himself, limit his mistakes, limit the shots he take. He also played for the first time this year like every play wasn't his last. And I know we always say that, right? Play every play like it's your last. Well, Russell Wilson kind of was, and it turned into YOLO ball. You only live once. He was trying to make throws to the corner of the end zones to tight ends against the Los Angeles Rams when he can score. And so when you look at some of those things, I felt like Russ cut those things out. Russ depended on the running game. He had a defense that was stopping the rush on the other side, so he played within himself. He made the smart decision. Every play wasn't an opportunity for his candidacy to get MVP votes. And I feel like he wasn't worried this game about, oh, I've gotten zero my whole career. I need to work to get some. This is my chance. That's Super Bowl Russ. That's the guy that can bring this team deep into the playoffs. That's the quarterback that can win a Super Bowl because he can make plays in clutch moments. This is what you want to see if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan.
And frankly, it was a night where he got a little help from his friends. They ran it for 165 yards. The defense played much better. Mark Sanchez, how significant is that as you watched Russell Wilson's performance last night?
If Ryan Clark ever wants to be a coach, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. And I'll tell you why. Because Pete Carroll would say that exact same thing when he'd feel his team getting a little bit off the rails, when his quarterback was, quote unquote, trying to have a little too much fun. And he would tell this story to the players, essentially saying, hey, when we go on the road, when we stay in a hotel, you get one movie. Don't be the guy who orders two movies and tries to like slip it under the rug and have a little too much fun. So I guarantee him and Russ had a meeting after these last two games, and he told him, hey, give me the routine throws. Give me the 5, 10, 15-yard completions. Give me the easy money guaranteed completions. These big splash plays will happen on their own. You're a natural playmaker like this. When things break down and the play gets long, go ahead and get smarter as the play gets longer. Use your athletic ability, but it's most important to take care of that football. And if we're gonna play hero ball, if we're gonna play backyard football and give the ball away as much as we're scoring, it doesn't work. So Ryan Clark hit the nail on the head, and I can almost guarantee that conversation happened between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, and it showed last night in the win column.
It's really good insight. Again, Carroll was Mark's coach in college at USC. And so, yeah. Bart, as I come to you, if the Seahawks are going to go where they would like to go this year, the defense is going to have to look a little more like it did last night than it has most of the season. Can they do that?
Well, absolutely. I think Mark would know this more better than anybody because he won more games on the road as a quarterback than, you know, almost half the league, right? He was a world warrior. And what happens is what you have to pack on, you know, on the road, you have to pack your defense and your run game. And they brought both, even though they were at home. You know, Carlos Hyde coming back, being able to provide balance so that Russell Wilson didn't think he had to win a shootout. You remember, they were losing games 34-36 because Russ felt like he had to win the game and get an explosive play and be responsible for the entire game. But if you look at what they were able to do and accomplish on defense with the acquisition of Carlos Dunlap, that gives them impact players on every level of the defense, defensive line, Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams back, that was the difference in the game.
That's exactly right. And I will remind everyone, Mark Sanchez did go on the road in the playoffs and beat Carson Palmer, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, not too shabby. Okay, speaking of that, let's look ahead to some of the games coming up this weekend. weekend. Sanchez, I'm starting with you. Sanchez, Packers, Colts. What are you looking at in this game? We got 30 seconds on the clock. Go.
Sure, I know the Colts have a great defense. Xavier Rhodes is playing well. He's got 2 interceptions, 10 pass defenses. But listen, I like Aaron Rodgers. I don't ever want to bet against him again. I've learned that on this show last year and at the beginning of this year. I understand. I made this pick with Hembo before. Okay? I made this pick with Hembo before I realized that Davante Adams might not be 100%. But it doesn't matter because Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he's becoming a legitimate number two. They're going to need some serious help from the backfield and those guys catching the ball out of the backfield. But Aaron Rodgers is too good. It's going to be a fast track indoors. They're going to play well.
It's one of the better games on the weekend. Next one is Titans-Ravens. Revenge time for Baltimore. 30 seconds. What matchup are you watching?
Well, you know, me and Ryan Clark sit on this show a lot of times. We have those glowing remarks about the battle between the Ravens and the Steelers. But remember, the Tennessee Titans used to be in that division. They were always based on physicality. This is all about the traditional matchups that these two always have. Whether it's Eddie George and Ray Lewis. Now I want to see if Patrick Queen can introduce himself to this rivalry. Is he willing to stand on the train tracks and the train is coming through. This guy disrespected you guys to the tune of 195 yards last year. They brought in Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams. They won't be available. Patrick Queen's going to have to dare to be great.
Okay, that's a really good game and obviously a chance for Baltimore to get revenge. And speaking of that, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders earlier this year. They rematch this Sunday night. RC, who's the most important player in that game? Go.
It's Tyrann Mathieu, and I know you're going to think about, well, what about all these offensive players? Tyrann Mathieu was brought there to bring a championship, and that's what he did last year. But he did that by making plays. There were no plays made for the Kansas City Chiefs defense the first time that they faced the Las Vegas Raiders, whether it's a blitz and you get a hand on the football from Derek Carr. If it's an interception that you can create field position and a score for your offense, it has to happen, and it has to happen through him. The landlord was brought there to collect rent, to collect dues, and that's what he has to do against Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders if they plan on winning this game.
That is my new favorite nickname in the entire NFL. We will take a break. There's much more coming on this Football Friday. It's one of the most intriguing matchups of the weekend. Are both Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield playing for their jobs? We're talking about that game. And then to the hoop, what now for Golden State after Klay's season ends before it started? Is the idea of a second dynasty done? Jalen Rose has thoughts. He'll join us live. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up.
We are back on Get Up, and on this show, Mark Sanchez is the masked slinger, and he's going to tell you which quarterbacks are going to have the biggest days this weekend. Cam Newton or Deshaun Watson, who's got the big day coming, Mark?
Give me Deshaun Watson. He's played against the Pats 3 times, and in those 3 games against Bill Belichick, over 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. But the most important thing that's been a challenge for Bill Belichick is his 80-yard scrambling in those contests because they're crucial yards that continue their drives, that score touchdowns. But he shredded them last year to the tune of a quarterback rating of 140.7. He gives Belichick a headache this weekend.
Next game, Jared Goff or Tom Brady?
Brady, I'm taking him all the way. I understand what you're saying. Aaron Donald up front, Jalen Ramsey will erase one of those receivers. Well, if he erases one receiver, they got 2 more good ones, some great backs and tight ends. And then, of course, up front, Aaron Donald, what do you do? Brady is the league leader in quick attempts. That's going to negate that pass rush. He's going to get the ball out fast.
That's Monday night. And then Ryan Tannehill versus Lamar Jackson. Who you like?
I'm going to take Ryan Tannehill. Listen, Lamar Jackson has taken already as many sacks as he had the entire season last year. That's not a good stat for him. He doesn't look like his MVP self. And Ryan Tannehill is looking for a bounce back game after the Colts last week. Plus, they're going to get that run game established. They're going to beat up that Baltimore defense. You heard it here first. And also, Baltimore has given up 6 touchdowns on play action. They struggle against play action, and that's Tannehill's secret.
I wish you could have seen the look on Bartholomew's face when you said those words, Mark Sanchez. You think they're going to beat up on the Baltimore
defense? Disrespectful.
They're going to get after him, Bart, I'm
telling you. Going into this game.
But the Ravens are trying to go get their soul back because Derrick Henry last year snatched their soul to the tune of 195 yards. And remember all the talk that was going into the game, how they were going to slow Derrick Henry down. And then all I have is that lasting image in my head of him smacking Earl Thomas on his back. And he's coming down, and Earl Thomas is toying with him like a little boy. And the Ravens went out and said, you know what? We can lose, but we will not lose this way. We are the bullies on the block. So they went out and got Calais Campbell. They went out and got Derek Wolfe. The problem is those guys aren't available for today. Look at that. That's disrespect. Which way did he go? Which way did he go? Let me at him. Let me at him. So, like, they're going to have a plan for Derrick Henry. They better, because they understand that they're going to have to cancel gaps and have this big man going east to west, because if he goes north and south, you're going to have some guys making some business decisions.
I like it. Now, RC, they're going to have a plan for Derrick Henry. I get it. But as Mike Tyson famously said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think what you got to do is come out and be different in your mindset. Understand that you are the bullies. Understand who you were last year and get back to that. When you look at this team, they came in with a plan to win a Super Bowl. This wasn't about winning regular season games. And now we're talking about them having pivotal games in the middle of the regular season to even get into the playoffs. This is about Lamar Jackson. This is about physicality on offense. Going downhill at the Tennessee Titans, you want to find a way to keep Derrick Henry from getting two bills on you? Keep him off the field. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson, run the football at the Tennessee Titans. They aren't great on defense. Tennessee Titans can be had. You can get to the play action game. And so this game is as much about this Baltimore Ravens offense as it is defense. And I know it's going to be seen all week that Derrick Henry turned Earl Thomas from a free safety to a lead blocker on a run, but that's not what's important. What's important is finding yourself, if you're the Baltimore Ravens and Greg Roman, as an offense, and this is a great week to do it.
Mark, you touched on the struggles of Lamar Jackson. This was really where it began. It was this game last year that everything started going at least a little bit sideways for him. What does he need to do? What does Lamar Jackson need to do this weekend and going forward to regain some of that?
I don't know if it's a combination of him and the coaching staff putting him in good positions, but listen, he's got to get the ball out quick, start him off with early completions, get his confidence back a little bit, and then a similar conversation that Pete Carroll had with Russell Wilson, you don't have to do it all. You don't have to extend these plays too long and get hit and take all these sacks, because every time you take a sack, that makes it even harder for us to get a first down and eventually score on that drive. I think the numbers are so low once you take a sack to overcome that and even get a first down. So he just has to play within himself, not try and do too much. Don't have too much fun, but that's so easy to say.
We put it on the players and coaches, but I was at that game last year in the playoffs, and they lost that game by the geek squad because they continued to go after fourth down. They were too aggressive going for it on fourth down in the first half. Take the dude with the geek squad and his iPad and his computer and kick him out the building for this week. This is about being in a phone booth going blow for blow.
And one more thing. I got 30 seconds left. Patrick Queen, that's the guy you called out earlier. What does he need to do?
Patrick Queen's going to have to stand on those train tracks. Listen, ain't nobody coming to rescue you. Calais Campbell ain't there. This is like when you got to fight the bully for the first time by yourself and your big brother ain't behind from you telling you to throw the left and throw the right. He got to come down and chop that wood. And to do that, you're going to lose some. You're going to take some L's. You got to let this dude know it's going to be all damn day. And if you got to grab them dreadlocks and pull one out, you grab one of those too.
It sets up to be one of the really interesting games of the weekend. We'll take a quick break on this Football Friday.
Part of the uniform. It's part of the uniform, Greeny.
Can't believe we're going to even ask this question, but could the Saints be better without their Hall of Fame quarterback? We've got the answer on the way. Let's get up on ESPN. All right, coming back here on Get Up, and again, if you missed the way this game ended last night, with 6 seconds to go, this was Tulsa and Tulane. This is Tulsa throwing a Hail Mary, Juan Carlos Santana, coming down with it at the end of regulation to tie the game, and then the second overtime, Tulsa's Zaven Collins with an interception that he takes all the way to the house for the winning score, 96 yards, and Tulsa wins a thriller 30-24 in double overtime. As we continue, coming up, what now for Golden State after Klay's season ends before it even started? Is the idea of a second dynasty done? Jalen Rose answers that question next. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up. And if you're just joining us, a good one last night, Thursday Night Football, Cardinals and Seahawks. Bart Scott picking up first quarter. Russell Wilson keeping the play alive and finding DK Metcalf.
In the words of Roy Jones Jr., y'all must have forgot I started this Mighty Mouse stuff as he finds DK Metcalf in the back of the end zone.
7-0 Seattle, second quarter, same score. Murray starts to cook. Max Williams, 25 yards.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever you can do, I can do better, Russ. Murray finds his tight end in only the place where he can catch it.
Kenyon Drake would take it in from there, so we're tied at 7. Then it's Wilson, Tyler Lockett for the touchdown.
Moon ball, half moon ball. Russell Wilson just knows how to put the ball where only his receiver can get it. He's starting to cook.
Extra point, no good. So it was 13-7. Early fourth, cards down, third and goal from the 3. Chase Edmonds couldn't be more open.
They call this the fadeaway. You know, just don't drop it. Don't miss the layup.
A big play in the game here. The Cardinals' next possession, they are down by 2. Now, all of a sudden, they're down by 4. Holding in the end zone.
Holding in the end zone, that's a no-no. I know you want to protect your quarterback, and you have to understand that situational awareness. You can't have a holding call inside of the end zone. 2 points for Seattle.
And then in the end, this is how it goes down. Kyler Murray with a chance again for a miracle, but this time on fourth down, he's sacked by Carlos Dunlap. And that's how it ends. The Seahawks hold on and hold off Arizona 28-21 to take first place in the division, and Russell Wilson continues to prove his big-time winning ways. His winning percentage in primetime games is the best of any quarterback since 1950, and he's now won 93 games, passing Peyton Manning for the most by any quarterback ever in their first 9 seasons in the league. Let's talk about other quarterbacks, the Browns and the Eagles. Pivotal game this weekend between two quarterbacks under a heavy spotlight. Carson Wentz, number 2 overall pick in 2016, a pick they acquired from the Cleveland Browns. Browns, of course, the following year would take Baker Mayfield, number 1 overall. And since Mayfield was drafted into the league in 2018, look at the numbers. The numbers between these two quarterbacks are practically identical. The difference, of course, is in their long-term job security. Wentz has his massive contract extension. He's going to be there going forward. Baker Mayfield, there's still a big decision to be made by the Browns on whether they will pick up his option or not. So we're going to talk a lot, obviously, about the quarterbacks as we turn our attention to this game. RC, what should we say about them? What are we looking for in this matchup?
That this started with two teams figuring that they had their long-term answer at quarterback, and now both teams are trying to win in spite of those quarterbacks. Remember, these were the shiny new toys. We were so excited to get Baker Mayfield. Oh, my goodness, we got Carson Wentz. We have to get rid of Nick Foles. Give Carson Wentz $110 million. They were the shiny new toys. You were, like, walking around like you found a new girl, and then you realize, oh, she really ain't like that. I thought she was the 10, but she might be a 4. And so now once you realize that, it's like, we better start running this ball. We better find a way to win outside of these guys. And that's where these teams are. When you're looking at the Cleveland Browns and Kevin Stefanski, you're trying to figure out how can we run the ball with Nick Chubb, move to the play action game, because 65% of their plays come from that action. And then if you're Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles, you're saying, okay, we can't let Carson make mistakes. We can't let Carson Wentz play us out of game. And that's a tough place to be in when you think you have your quarterback, when you know that they're talented enough. And so this game is going to be about what the other 21 people on the field do for the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that the Cleveland Browns have the edge there.
Yeah, both teams have questions. The Browns seem to have more other answers. But as you, Mark Sanchez, watch these Eagles play, how much of this is about the quarterback?
Well, here's what I don't understand, Greeny. A couple weeks ago, everybody's getting upset at Carson Wentz for extending these plays. He's putting the ball in jeopardy. He's throwing too many interceptions. He's fumbling. You know, he's playing this backyard hero football, okay? So last week, he says, all right, I'm going to go out and say, Uncle, I'm not going to try and make you chicken salad out of chicken crap. Let's make this easy. I'll let my playmakers make plays. Crickets. I mean, crickets, you guys. Nobody was there to make plays. This is why he has to play that way. There's no two ways about it. He's got to run around, put the ball in one hand, and throw these miracle throws and try and make crazy plays, because nobody's coming to save him. Nobody's there to help him. And if I see Dan Orlovsky get on that set next week in that green suit and bash Carson Wentz in a Kelly Green suit, I'm going to be really upset, because he's got no other options, man.
That's extremely well said. I'd like to continue this, but I'm being told that Diana has news that we need. Diana Russini is with us this morning as well, and we have breaking news. Diana, what do we have?
Yeah, Greeny, the Cleveland Browns just released a statement stating that Myles Garrett has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, that he's been quarantining over the last few days. Of course, the league is going to look into this, check out that contact tracing to see other players he was around. But the statement from the Browns, I think this is important, says that there are no high-risk positive contacts that were identified, meaning no others will miss Sunday's game. So that's good news for the Cleveland Browns in terms of suiting up their guys for Sunday's game. But obviously, you know, not having Myles Garrett could be a gigantic loss for this Browns defense. So as of right now, the big story being Myles Garrett placed on that COVID-19 reserve list.
All right, Diana, thank you. So, Bart Scott, let me ask you, how does that impact the way you look at this game? No Myles Garrett for Sunday.
Well, you talk about the league leader in sacks, you know, creating pressures and getting the ball out. I think, you know, if you're Carson Wentz, you're breathing a sigh of relief. But to go back to what Ryan and what Mark was talking about, this isn't a fair comparison to me. Now, Ryan, I'm usually with you when you're right, but you're wrong on this one in this regard. The fact that we already know that Carson Wentz can play at an MVP level. Baker Mayfield does less with more than any other quarterback in the history of football. This guy has two of everything. You have two running backs in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, two great tackles in Jerick Willis and Jack Conklin. You got two tight ends in Austin Hooper and David Njoku. You got two great receivers in Beckham and Landry. And this is what you do? We have to put the training wheels on you to just tell you don't crash the car. When Carson Wentz, they had their window. They're an aging team with bad salary cap issues without a lot of weapons. They went for a championship. They won their championship. They're going to have to break it down and build it back up. They have aging stars and bad contracts.
Let me give RC a final thought here quickly on that, and then we will run off. I got some basketball news I got to get to. Go ahead, RC.
Well, absolutely, Bart. You could say I was wrong when you changed the subject and talk about something else. We would talk about what they were looking like right now. It doesn't matter what's going on around them.
Don't hit me with
both
facts.
Of these dudes aren't playing well. And it doesn't matter that if you know Carson Wentz can play at an MVP level, he's not playing at an MVP level right now. And whether it's the injuries around him, bad salary cap, it doesn't matter. When you make $110 million, you're expected to play a certain way. And individually, he's not. And so right now, this game is going to be about the other 21 guys. But if I'm Carson Wentz, and they just told me that unicorn, Myles Garrett, isn't playing, I breathe a little sigh of relief and say, you know what? Maybe I can extend some plays. Maybe I can hold on to the ball and play some of this hero ball that the mass slinger was talking about.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
Leave it there for the moment, but that is obviously significant news. The Browns will be out without one of the best defensive players in the entire sport. Guys, stay with me. More Football Friday as we go. But the big news yesterday came from the NBA, where an MRI confirmed Klay Thompson tore his right Achilles and will miss a second straight season. His agent telling Woj that Klay is expected to make a full recovery in time for the start of the following year. Here's the Warriors GM Bob Myers addressing the franchise.
I can't sit here and say I feel good. I have confidence in our players. I have confidence in our coaches. I have confidence in our ownership. We're going to keep moving. We're never going to stop. But to be truthful, this hurts. It hurts me, and I know it hurts our organization.
Yeah, here's how Vegas sees it. You look at this from Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. The Warriors' odds to win it all drop from 8-1 to 20-1, and their odds to come out of the West double as well. So let's talk about this here a little bit as we have Woj back with us. And Jalen Rose is getting up early with us this morning as well. Woj, for those who haven't heard, the Warriors are making some moves, right? They get some flexibility based on this injury, and they're not just choosing to sit out this season.
That's right, Greeny. They're finalizing a trade with Oklahoma City. They're going to bring in Kelly Oubre and his $14.4 million into a trade exception that they had. He'll cost the Warriors in salary and luxury tax $80 million next season. But certainly, maybe one of the best available wings. He came over to Oklahoma City from Phoenix in that Chris Paul trade, and he'll just move on to the Warriors. They're going to send a 2021 first-round pick to Oklahoma City. And so that gives them certainly a player who they could plug into the starting lineup, who can come off the bench, who can score the ball. But obviously, you're not replacing Klay Thompson. He's a Hall of Fame player and part of, with Steph Curry, the best backcourt in the NBA when they're healthy.
For sure. So, Jalen, we look at the Warriors. It's Steph, it's Draymond, it's Wiggins, it's Wiseman, who they draft, and now Kelly Oubre. What are they in the Western Conference?
The Warriors are a team that's going to be scratching and clawing, Greeny, to try and make the playoffs. If you think about the trek of their greatness of making five straight NBA finals, winning three championships, the latter two came when they added Kevin Durant. And that's because the Western Conference started to catch up. And when we start talking about the top players in the league, I think people should now put some respect on Klay Thompson's name, because I've always described him as one of the top 12 or 15 players in the league. Just think about this. He's a five-time All-Star. He's an all-defensive player. He has the NBA record for most threes in a quarter, most points in a quarter, Greeny. Like, this guy is so effective, so efficient, and so low maintenance. He scored 60 points in a basketball game and only dribbled 19 times. And why does that matter? That means other people around him are able to facilitate. Draymond Green is still able to get off. Steph is able to do his catch and shoot. You want to add KD? Fine. He'll still find a way to blend in. And then sometimes when it matters the most for the Warriors, Game 6 Klay, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. If it wasn't for Game 6 Klay, KD probably never even joins the Warriors. I love Kelly Oubre. He's one of those guys that always look deeper into the box score. And I was scratching my head that the Wizards let him go. He was a 19-point scorer last year. He's going to give him competitiveness. He's going to give him toughness. But when you look at the landscape of the Western Conference, there's so many elite players. There's so many franchise caliber guys that I just believe if the Golden State Warriors make the playoffs, it will be a first-round exit. Once they got
so, yeah, I'm with you on all of that. And Thompson is so clutch. All right, it's a terrible loss. It's a terrible story. Meanwhile, Woj, the Gordon Hayward thing is fascinating. What happened yesterday with Boston, and what does his future look like?
Well, his agent, Mark Bartelstein, told me that he's opted out of the $34 million in his contract this season. So he's got a few options here. He and Mark Bartelstein have been working through with the Celtics sign-and-trade scenarios. He can obviously sign as a free agent with a team that has salary cap space. There are a lot fewer of those, and they're not all maybe teams that kind of fit where Gordon Hayward is in his career. But, you know, the sign-and-trade route where he can get an extension, Boston can get some players back that match up to his money, you know, that's going to be continued to be discussed today. Indiana's a team that has had interest. We know Gordon Hayward's from Indianapolis. I know that scenario is one that appeals to him. But I think for Hayward, you know, he's going to try to find a place where he can get a long-term deal. He was headed into the fourth year of that big free agent deal he had signed with the Celtics coming from Utah.
What do you think, Jalen? Where should Gordon Hayward, where would he look best to you?
Indiana. I played there almost 6 years, Greeny. That's where he grew up. I follow him when he played at Butler. And I think he'd be a great fit for the Pacers. You pair him with Victor Oladipo and Malcolm Brogdon. The Pacers have always been one of those teams in the East, just like the Portland Trail Blazers in the West. And this is why I was disappointed they fired Nate McMillan. That when you look down at the standings, you're like, wait a minute, the Pacers are in fourth? They always seem to outplay expectations. And so Gordon Hayward coming off an injury, returning to the Celtics, he was actually effective. But when you have Jaylen Brown and you have Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker, it's just not enough basketballs for Gordon Hayward, a guy that can create off the dribble, playing pick and roll, and has been an all-star in this league and a 20-point score.
Jalen Rose again, Jalen and Jacoby this afternoon, and then Adrian Wojnarowski tonight. You see it on your screen, a little over 8 hours away from free agency getting underway in the NBA. Woj will have all the stories as always. Guys, have a great day. Thank you. Meanwhile, as we continue here, Jameis Winston, can he stop turning the ball over? Is this the best chance he will ever have to resurrect his career? We're talking about that and more. Get up on ESPN.
NBA free agency officially begins tonight at 6 Eastern on a special edition of SportsCenter. Follow the breaking news, up-to-the-minute developments, and instant analysis on major moves around the league. Adrian Wojnarowski and Stephen A. Smith live with wall-to-wall coverage on the deals that could impact the NBA landscape. SportsCenter live tonight at 6 Eastern for the start of NBA free agency.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Hey man, you gotta pull your freaking weight.
I'm not that good.
I'm a professional overreactor, I admit it.
I'm that dude, man. Peanut butter and jelly is for losers. Put some meat on that sandwich.
I just looked at Stafford and I said, oh, fudge. Stafford did not say fudge. He used a different four-letter F word, but...
Yeah, fudge has more than that.
Fudge has more than four letters.
Rex has only used fudge in different contexts, like ice cream sundae. I'm looking at the standings.
Guys, if I'm looking at the standings...
Philly has 3 wins. The Giants have 3 wins. Washington has 2 and Dallas has 2.
No. Quit talking. Good Lord, man.
If you talk about the tie, Greeny, I'm taking off my mic.
It's ridiculous.
The Philadelphia Eagles, they're up. Let me tell you why they're up. Because they took the tie, guys. Stace and I were watching Northwestern. Northwestern's undefeated, by the way. I told Stace, if Philadelphia loses, they're still up. Why, Stace? Because of the tie. There you go. I said it for you. Now you ain't got to say it.
But he happens to be exactly right.
We
got a lot of mileage out of that this week.
Yeah, you know what, Greeny, man? I just had to bring up Stace because I know you sit at home, man, and you tell her things that you're going to tell us, and you run them by her first because I know, well, she's smarter than you. And so you do that, and I just knew that's what you were doing this weekend when you were watching the game when they were losing. I knew you were going to come in and do that, and I just couldn't let you do it, Greeny. I was just tired of it. Next, we're probably going to talk about Phoebe. That's going to be the next one I bring up.
Listen,
when you bring up the
I'll
tie
just say
in 3
it
weeks.
You said it right. The point of it, regardless of whose voice you're doing it in yours or in mine, they're going to win the division because of the tie. Meanwhile, with that, we'll remind you that we have 10 minutes left in Get Up this morning, and we'll do it with you commercial free. And then as soon as we wrap up, it's time for First Take coming away at the top of the hour. Max and Stephen A. and Molly debating whether the Seahawks can win the Super Bowl this year after their win, and talking about the Warriors. Is their dynasty over? First Take follows us in 10 minutes here. Meanwhile, let's run the option. Mark Sanchez. Big college games. Wisconsin, Northwestern, both unbeaten. What's the key to the game?
I think the key to the game is Graham Mertz and what he does with his attack on offense. Listen, this quarterback came out and threw 5 touchdowns in his first start for Wisconsin. You're saying Wisconsin. What about Ron Dayne, Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Stewart? No, no, no. This is a different Wisconsin attack. This kid's got 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's leading the way. It's running back by committee. They're going to get explosive on offense. And look out for that defensive coordinator, too, Jim Leonard.
Next up, the Bedlam game. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. What's the key?
I know what you're thinking, Greeny. I'm going to say Oklahoma State's defense. And you're going to say Big 12. They don't play defense. That's like saying, you know, I'm the smartest kid in summer school. It doesn't mean anything. But listen, these guys put more teams into 3-and-out situations at a 43% clip this year. They're playing really well. And what I've heard out of Oklahoma is Spencer Rattler's so healthy. He's more than healthy. He's great. He's over 100% because he took a big shot. Watch for him to be a little ginger this week. And then in this Ohio State matchup, I know what you're saying in this one too. Listen, Tom Allen's got this team playing well. 8 wins last year. They're off to a 4-0 start. They haven't been ranked in the top 10 since 1967. But listen, they're going up against Ohio State, man. Ryan Day, this is where this thing comes to a screeching halt, unfortunately, for Indiana. They have the 113th ranked schedule in all of college football this year. That's not good. The talent, it's going to outweigh them. It's going to be a little too much. It's going to overwhelm them. So I have Ohio State winning. I think it's competitive for about a quarter.
I just saw that the number on the screen there. I wonder what the last time a top 10 team was a 20-point underdog was. We can look into that. Meanwhile, tomorrow on ABC and the ESPN app, we have one of those games for you. We have Wisconsin and Go You Northwestern in a battle of unbeatens in the Big Ten. And then we have the Bedlam game. So we actually have two of them. That's the primetime game tomorrow night. It's all on ABC and on the ESPN app. All right, back to the NFL on the Saints quarterback situation. Yesterday, Dominique Foxworth was on the program and he said something about Jameis Winston and this offense that made a lot of us raise our eyebrows. Take a listen to this.
A lot more difficult to play defense when you have to cover the entire field than when you are focused on getting these slants or these screen passes to Alvin Kamara. It's a lot scarier when you add the deep threat to that. If Sean Payton can coach the turnovers out of Jameis Winston, that offense is a lot scarier with Jameis and that big arm than it is with Drew Brees. I know it sounds crazy.
And so you could see he was actually ducking as he was saying it because he knew what he was suggesting was going to be highly controversial. But before we can even get to Jameis, we have to get to this. I mean, Diana, they will not close the door. And Shefty was very adamant about this yesterday on the idea that Taysom Hill may wind up being the starting quarterback. What should we expect to see here?
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons are obviously preparing for both quarterbacks, leaning more towards Jameis Winston being the starter. But what a great opportunity this would be for New Orleans to see what they can get from Taysom Hill, a guy they gave a 2-year, $20 million contract to. He would be able to get all those starting reps all week long at practice to really show what he can do. Because we know when Drew Brees is out there, Taysom's not getting all those reps because he's running around to all the different units on offense because he's part of this offense in so many different roles. So you can't count out Taysom Hill being the starter here. We know how much Sean Payton loves him. He has compared him to Steve Young. And while Payton, going back to the time when he signed Jameis Winston, really feels strongly that he could coach out those turnovers that we know Jameis is known for. And I have heard at practice, those have declined and they do have a lot of confidence in Jameis Winston. I still think there's an opportunity here for the New Orleans Saints to see who is going to be the next starting quarterback and potentially give the ball to Taysom Hill.
All right, so we will keep a close eye on that. That would obviously be fascinating. Let's spin it back to Jameis, though, for the moment, because here's a guy who was the first pick in the draft. He's a Heisman winner. He's a national champion in college. RC, you heard what your buddy Dominique said, that Jameis can make this interesting. Do you believe Sean Payton can finally unlock the key to keep Jameis from turning the football over and become the quarterback his talent suggests he could be?
I have absolutely no idea. I wish I did. If I did, I'd place a lot of money somewhere and bet on it because you just don't know. What you know is what you've seen from Jameis. You've seen that he can be explosive. You've seen that he can push the ball down the field to his team and the other team. Jameis Winston has shown us that he has a unique ability to keep both teams alive in any game. That's what Sean Payton's going to have to fight against. That's what Sean Payton is going to have to try to minimize for Jameis Winston. But you also want him to push the ball down the field. You also want this offense to be explosive, which they haven't been with Drew Brees. So if you can have some of the old Jameis, some of the talent, some of the things that you've seen that make you fall in love with him a little bit, and then take away the turnovers, make him a smarter player, make him make better decisions, that's the Jameis Winston you want to have. And Sean Payton, I believe, is the best guy to do that, and this is the best situation for Jameis.
Mark, what do you think? I mean, when a quarterback is turnover prone, talk me through this through a quarterback's eyes. What does Jameis need to focus on to be successful in this offense?
Well, most importantly, it's going to be the same thing we say about all these young quarterbacks or guys getting a second chance. Get them off to a good start. And part of that good start could be mixing in a healthy dose of Taysom Hill to keep some of it off Jameis Winston's shoulders. But like Foxworth was saying, I understand where he's coming from. There's high risk and high reward when you play with Jameis, right? He's going to push the ball down the field. Now, it's about whether he could do it to his own guys. So I think Sean Payton's going to want to be a little bit of a puppet master here, giving you a little Jameis, a little Taysom Hill, back and forth. And as long as they can control the game, control the clock, stay ahead of the sticks, and manage the thing, I think he'll decide when Jameis is allowed to take those shots downfield. And hopefully he's successful, build up his confidence, and then that helps him down the stretch.
What do you think, Bart?
I mean, he's a quarterback that threw for over 5,000 yards. The problem was he had 42 turnovers, and you see a lot of those in these highlights. They led to scores. You know, I think we have to kind of kill this narrative about who Taysom Hill is. He's Steve Young. The dude is 30 years old. At this point, we don't know who the hell he is. Then something's wrong with us. He's more Tim Tebow. And I would ask, you know, we know there's no chance of this dude starting. I would ask Mark because he, you know, James Winston never had this experience. But you had this experience with Tim Tebow coming in and maybe messing up a quarterback's rhythm as you're getting down and you're getting in the groove starting to see the field. Now you bring a guy in to run a running play and you're on the sideline or you're out there, you know, at receiver as you famously flinched. You know what I'm saying? I knew you was flinched. You was ready, though, because you was going to throw back. But I'm just saying, you know, throwing off a quarterback's rhythm by always bringing another guy in and taking him off the field.
Does it, Mark? Does that break a quarterback's rhythm? Will that impact Winston?
I think it's difficult, right? Because you go in, you maybe complete the ball on first down, now you get like second and six, okay? And then Taysom Hill goes in and now he gets maybe like minus 3 yards and you're like, all right, now I get to go in for this third and nine? Like, what's that all about? You know, just give one guy the whole series and then come back to me next series is a little easier, right? You just get out of rhythm. You don't take your shooter out and put him back in just for one possession unless you absolutely have to at the end of the game. It just throws you off a little bit. And, you know, we had success with Brad Smith doing it. We had a little success with Tebow doing it. But I can say as a starter, it's hard. But you've seen Drew Brees manage it, so we'll see how they do.
Dude's 30, man.
I'll leave it there for the moment because we have one piece of business left to wrap up before this week is out. You need to know who's going to win these big games on Sunday, and I've got that for you in 3, 2, 1. Eagles, Browns, so many questions for both. I like the answers better in Cleveland. At least they can run it, and they act like they care. 23-13, dog pound. Pats, Texans, every game is the playoffs for New England. They beat the Ravens to stay alive, and they're good. They'll take care of the Texans because they're bad. Houston, we have a problem, 26-17. Steelers, Jags, Mike Tomlin doesn't do trap games, plus Pittsburgh already had one in Dallas. Terrible towel stays perfect, 33-13. Packers, Colts, good game, or is it? Green Bay off wins against the 39ers and Jags, I'm not buying. Rivers, rested and ready, 36-33 Colts. Jets, Chargers, just kidding. Who cares? Titans, Ravens, rematch and revenge. The world is writing off Baltimore, but the Titans have no defense and their special teams are killing them. Give me Lamar, 28-24. Finally, Dolphins, Broncos. Miami has a real shot to win the division and their future is the brightest of any team aside from KC. That's right, I said it. This one's a cinch, 30-16. Tua time again. What do you think, Bart? You got a little chuckle out of that one?
I mean, listen, you have to laugh to stop from crying, man. It's brutal over there. But it's all good, though. It's going to be a great week of football, Green. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. The Chargers are 2-7, and they're more
horrible
than a touchdown
haircut.
Favorite.
Horrible haircut, though.
More than a touchdown favorite against the Jets. Everybody, outstanding work. Thank you all for being here. Thanks for getting up with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the football. The conversation continues with First Take on ESPN Now.